Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, world. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World, and a great green world it is. Happy Saturday. If you're tuning in from around the country, thanks. If you're tuning in from Tucson, double thanks. This is News Talk 790 KNST, and once again, another great show planned for today, so thanks for joining us. We have an in-studio guest, Michael Guymon from Imagine Greater Tucson, and I have to say, because of Imagine Greater Tucson, I do imagine a greater Tucson. What a concept. And I've got to tell you, it's one I'm very excited about, and if you haven't heard about it, it's hard to imagine, but stay with us and you'll know everything you ever wanted to know and hopefully a little more and get you excited about imagining a greater Tucson. How good is that for all of us in any city that wants to hear what their process is? So welcome, Michael. We're glad to have you. And you can just say hi so they know you're here.
Howdy.
We got a howdy. I love it. And we have TEP calling in today, Bill Smith, who is the field coordinator for the residential lighting program. And Bill, thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday. And I know what question I want to pop to you first. Should I just go?
Sure. Okay. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
I love it. And I love all the TEP, Tucson Electric Power and Bright Solutions is doing for the community to bring us forward in the energy saving world. So I think, as Mrs. Green, one of the most confusing things that people write to me about and comment to me about and ask me about are the lovely, compact fluorescent light bulbs. I call them CFLs because I can get that out in one soundbite. But I know that we bought some and I didn't like them because they weren't bright enough for reading. And, you know, for those of us that aren't 20 anymore, it's hard. Well, then I did more research because of TEP, and they come, I would say they don't come in watts, but they come in degrees of brightness. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure, and I certainly understand. I have my reading glasses on right now, so light reading is pretty important to me, too.
Critical.
But, for example, if you were to go into, a Home Depot or a Lowe's store today, there'd be a lot of different bulbs to choose from, CFL bulbs to choose from. There's what are called daylight bulbs,
okay,
bright white bulbs, and then soft white bulbs.
Okay.
Typically, people who have the incandescent bulbs in their home, let's say a 60-watt incandescent bulb, more than likely that's going to be a soft white bulb. And that's about a 2,700 Kelvin bulb with a lumen output of maybe 800 lumens. Now, lumens is how much light is being emitted by the bulb.
And it probably comes from the word luminaria or something, candles. It goes back to candles. So it's how many candles you'd have to light to get that brightness. I get that. Okay,
yeah.
So go ahead.
So for someone who does need a little bit more intense light, a wider light, if they're doing task work like reading or needlepoint or where they're doing intricate type work, those daylight bulbs are great bulbs.
Okay.
Because they do have they have a very whitish appearance. They really make the print pop off the page. Whereas a soft white bulb, which a lot of people have in their homes, are really more for setting a tone in the room, like in a living room or a family room where you're looking for some ambiance. It's a warm tone. Whereas the higher Kelvin, the 6,500 Kelvin or the daylight bulb is going to be a much cooler looking bulb, very white
really
in appearance,
nice.
Almost bluish
right.
cast.
Right. I don't like bright white lights unless I'm trying to read something. So I
mm-hmm.
get that. Okay, so that's the other kind. All right.
Right. Now, there's an in-betweener that's called a bright white bulb. It's about a 4,000, 4,500 Kelvin bulb. So it's not that stark white, and it's not the really warm yellowish tones that you get from the soft white bulbs. It's a little bit more in between.
Okay.
Now, the lumen output is about the same on all of them. A soft white bulb would have a lumen output of about 900 lumens.
Okay.
The daylight and bright white bulbs have lumen outputs that are actually equal to about 800 lumens.
Okay.
Now, that can vary from manufacturer to manufacturer, but that's pretty close.
Okay. Okay, so then am I making this up? I really don't think I'm making this up because I try not to make stuff up on the radio. But I tell you what, we have one that's above our kitchen sink,
mm-hmm.
And when you put it on, it's kind of like dim, but then it gets brighter. I didn't make that up, right? Or do my eyes just adjust better?
Well, some bulbs, does it have a globe around it?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
The typical twist type bulb that you see a lot out in the stores, those are pretty much instant on. As soon as you turn those on, they're at pretty much at full brightness.
Right.
But the ones that have coverings on them, like some of the CFLs that would go above a bathroom sink,
right,
globes on them, those are actually designed for heat management to come on a little bit slower. So they might take maybe 30 seconds or so to get to full brightness.
Okay, love that. I love that. And the other thing that I think we should talk about, because I found this out, is everybody says, oh, they're so much more expensive. Well, guess what, folks? If you live in Tucson, they're not.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other cities that help support it. So tell us about the TEP buy-down program and how affordable they are.
Yeah, it's just that. TEP is helping to buy down the cost of the bulbs for the consumers. So just to give you, you know, the discounts can be anywhere from $1 to $6.
Right.
A couple of days ago, I was doing an event at a home show on Costco Drive, the store, the Home Depot store that's over on Thornydale, and they still had some single package bulbs left over from a promotion that they did on Earth Day.
Okay.
Well, they were selling those for 27 cents a piece.
CFLs?
When you include, that was in coordination with TEP's buy down.
Okay,
so 27 cents a piece is just
ridiculously low. It's like free.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
exactly.
Like free.
for the benefits that you get out of those balls for 27 cents, it's a great deal. Now, typically, TEP's discounts, again, are anywhere from $1 to $6, depending on, you know, if it's a multi-pack or a single pack or the type of bulb that you're purchasing.
Okay, so I want to tell everybody who's listening, please do not go to Home Depot and ask where the 27-cent light bulbs are, because they're probably gone by now. They probably went out there like hotcakes. But
yeah, I made sure by the end of my 4 hours there, I do events at some of these stores. At the end of the 4 hours, all those bulbs were gone.
I think that's a really good plan. And then you really don't have to do anything special. You don't need a coupon. You can just go in and buy them from off the shelves, correct?
Right. The discounts are automatically loaded into the computer systems of the retailers, of our participating retailers, and we probably should talk a little bit about that. But it is automatic. They don't need to fill out rebate forms. TEP has made it as easy as possible for their customers to take advantage of this program.
Okay. And I just think it's great that you called in, and I want to we have about a minute left till we go to the first break, but I want to remind everybody, you can always find out this information from me, Mrs. Green, Gina at Mrs. Green's World, or info at Mrs. Green's World. And then always I recommend TEP.com. There's a Bright Solutions section. There's a Green Living section. Just do it. Bill, thanks so much for calling in. That was Bill Smith, field coordinator from Tucson Electric Power. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Imagine a greater Tucson. I am. Stay here with me.
790KMFT.com.
Hello, world. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World, a world that you will guaranteed have a lot of fun. This is News Talk 790 KNST. I am indeed Mrs. Green. Great show today. It was wonderful hearing from Bill Smith about all the confusion about CFLs and what our local electric company is doing to make a difference. And in studio, Michael Guyman from Imagine Greater Tucson. Michael, welcome again.
Hey,
glad
you're
being here.
Thank you very
much. I'd like another howdy.
Howdy, Mrs. Green.
I love that. I got my green on as soon as he said that. So I have two quick announcements before we get to Imagine Greater Tucson. I want to talk to you again about the contest that we're having on our website, Mrs. Green's World, and just put a little kind of whiny sound in there about people read my website. So if you have an idea and there's something you and your family have committed to make this year a little bit greener, please share it with us. Gina, you just go to MrsGreensWorld.com. We've got some great entries. And even if you don't want to enter, check it out and read what's going on. Okay, coming up on February 5th, I will be live at the Food Co-op talking about how green is your Super Bowl. So plant those seeds right now. There's so much we can do to eliminate waste on Super Bowl, eat a little bit healthier. And no, I'm not going to say, and Michael's shaking his head, I said a little bit, okay? So, like, just have half the chips or get baked ones. We're going, there's going to be they're snorting in here. Oh, no snorting. They're laughing so hard. Okay, so we are going to have, there's going to be a Marana Kendu 5K race. And I love this thing. If I could be two places at once, which I hope I figure out in this lifetime, it's sponsored by the Marana Chamber, and it's going to be at 9 a.m. They're collecting food for the Marana Food Bank, which is always so needed. They ask for a $10 donation if you can't do that. It's one of those wonderful community events that we want to support. And then you could like run the event and then run over to the food co-op and make some healthy choices like New Belgium beer. They're one of the greenest companies in the world. Fat Tire is a green company. So that's what I meant, Michael, about making it greener. So those are my two announcements. So I want to talk for a second about Imagine Greater Tucson and set the tone. One of my friends said, will you go to this meeting with me? So first strike, meeting. Second strike, it's about Imagining Greater Tucson. Third thought, please don't tell me anything. I'm sorry about Rio Nuevo. I call it Rio Viejo. I try to keep it upbeat on the show, but like really, come on, guys. Let's go forward and not just spend more money. So that's my personal views hanging right here out on the air.
And that's a whole conversation that could take up an entire show.
And what's the point? Like, let's go forward, because there is something that I went to and I was ignited and I was excited and I am behind it. I almost wore my Imagine Greater Tucson hat today. I wear my Imagine Greater Tucson button because I believe in this vision, in this process. I am thrilled that it's not being run by government. You can't do it without government. They're a partner, but it's not spending more money and throwing at the problem. It's about creating a vision, which for me is how all dreams are started. You have a vision. So tell us a little bit about what Imagine Greater Tucson is and how it got started. It's amazing. I'm in. So I'm in, and I had all these objections, and I think I kissed my friend on the cheek for inviting me, but that's not on video, so I can deny it.
Well, excellent. And thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm very excited to be here to talk about this. And, you know, let's focus on the word excitement, because you're excited about the program. I'm excited about the program. And that's what a lot of it is about, just being excited about living in Tucson, being excited about the future of our community, being excited about what we are going to leave for our children.
And
it is
about sustainability.
That's absolutely right.
I hesitate. Yes, I want you on the show. Let's make Tucson a sustainable community. So go ahead.
That's right. So a little bit of background. This essentially started on December 3rd, 2008. There's a gentleman by the name of Robert Groh, and maybe may get back to him in a little bit more detail later in the program, depending on what we're going to be talking about. But he was sort of the mastermind behind the Envision Utah project. That was a project in the sort of Wasatch Front, the 90 communities or so that make up the greater Salt Lake City region.
But a proven success.
I think you should really elaborate
on that, because that's what started to set the hook with me.
Sure. So
it worked.
So in 1997, he started this with a bunch of other community leaders. And again, it was creating a vision. And this is, you know, essentially what we are doing in Tucson, creating a vision based on shared values, different from what
Critical.
Has ever been done before. And so his process in Utah was based on those, you know, creating the vision based on those shared values. And then they, the sort of background on this, they had a sales tax referendum for, or actually it was initiative for a transportation project, much like we have had in the past. We've actually had five failed sales tax attempts since 1986. They had one in, I believe, 1994 or thereabout. It failed miserably. He said, hey, you know what? We need to have a much more comprehensive plan that's not just transportation, but it's also land use and environment and air quality and education. I mean, all those things sort
and
of lump together.
Another tax, because that's what people hear. What's my money going to be used for?
That's right, exactly. But based off of that effort, they then ran another sales tax initiative in 2000, and that passed overwhelmingly.
It was a landslide, from what I remember. No-brainer.
So again, you know, it's you know, taking the shared values that we are collecting right now. We're right now in phase one, and that's going to last until about the end of February. taking those shared values, turning them into a plan, turning them into a vision for the community. And then the phase three is always the most important part, and that's implementation. So we can talk about that a little bit as well.
But you can't just get to that and create. One of the things I love about Imagine Greater Tucson, so back to the Utah project, Imagine Greater Utah.
Envision Utah.
And, you know, they probably were envisioning a Greater Tucson for us. We just didn't know it. But they created a remarkable ongoing change with their public transportation system. And they built a train line, a mass transit, and commuters, and they didn't have it. And they knew that the valley was going to get so crowded and so polluted, it hadn't happened yet. Do I remember that correctly?
Oh, absolutely. And there are a lot of other factors that go into it as well. Salt Lake, just like Denver and many other communities, are in non-attainment in accordance with the EPA standards. Which is something you probably talk quite a bit about on this show. and so they really needed to address that and come up with creative ways and creative solutions to address that. And so a big component of that vision was to make sure that they provide alternatives, such as the light rail that they're building, such as the commuter rail that they're building, and other great, you know, pedestrian and bicycle, you know, infrastructures within their community to, you know, bring their community back into attainment. So that certainly was a big component of it.
And if I had an opportunity to use public transportation in a way that would work for me, I'm a Jersey girl. I grew up taking the bus to New York. I commuted on the train. I would never have a car if I lived in New York City. It's a big pain in the neck. If you want a car, you can rent it, because I can get on the subway, I can get on a bus, or I can get a cab.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed it, and it worked, and people are using it. And I still have a vision even to go to Phoenix. But if I took the train to Phoenix, then I have to be able to get around Phoenix. And Phoenix is looking at that, and they're working it out.
That's absolutely right. And then actually an interesting statistic, going back to the Envision Utah process, 70% of their, I believe it's their light rail riders, are discretionary riders. In other words, they're leaving a car in their garage that they could very easily hop into and drive to work.
Right.
Instead, they are making the choice. 70% of them are making the choice to take the light rail system.
That's huge. So many times it would be so great to be able to just go down and get the train, but we don't have one. So we will. We're imagining a Greater Tucson.
That's
totally
right.
Upbeat. Okay, so there's this process that you looked at called Envision Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did it ignite here? And it's such a big dream, and it's becoming such a reality. The journey of a lifetime begins with a single step. Tell me about a couple of the first single steps.
Sure. Well, after that December 3rd, 2008 meeting, then a number of very diverse individuals got together in a room.
Very
diverse. And I'm not shy about telling this. I've had sort of life in politics. And so in politics, there are certainly disagreements.
Right.
And I was sitting next to people at that very table that, you know, I didn't necessarily have shouting matches with, but I had very heated discussions with on a variety of issues. But we were then sitting at the same table trying to figure out how we were going to move this community forward in a positive way. And so 125 very diverse individuals ultimately came together as a part of the initiating team. And we performed a variety of tasks, wanted to make sure that we were getting the youth engaged, researching close to 30 different envisioning processes other than Envision Utah. We looked at Calgary, Chattanooga, Pittsburgh, you name it, their visioning processes, to make sure that we were not recreating the wheel. We wanted to take what worked in those communities and implement them here. But we were also not very cognizant of the fact that we've done something similar to this type of effort in the past. So we wanted to research past efforts here in Tucson and pull from the best of those as well. I mean, the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, very successful.
Awesome.
The Regional Transportation Authority that passed in 2006, very successful.
Right.
So
right.
Those are great examples of the community coming together and, you know, moving something forward. So we also wanted to make sure that we brought those components in. I'd be remiss to also mention the TRIO blueprint for our economic development future. And as a TRIO employee, I just had to give that shameless
right.
plug.
I hope everybody there at TRIO is listening. But I think it's really easy, very easy in this day and age to get focused on the negative And when you start looking at the positive, and I want to say in particular downtown, there are models all over the country mm-hmm. that we can imagine because they've done it and they've done massive changes with buy-in. And when you go downtown, there are changes already. The TEP building, Providence Service Corporation put a building down there.
Oh, it's huge.
Buffalo Exchange is putting a building down there. When you walk into the streets for the Temple of Music and Art, you're in a magic kingdom. The Temple of Music and Art is a beautiful street. There are lots of homeowners. It's paved with cobblestone or something, some kind of brick. And it's like magic. Twinkle lights. It feels like a neighborhood. And I love to see that. We had dinner at the Cup the other night. We went from we were going to the theater. And we felt very safe walking at 7:30 at night and at 10:30 at night mm-hmm. from the Cup to Arizona Theater Company and back and seeing the improvements. And I can get in the conversation of, oh, my God, you know, you just drive down there. It's a bunch of empty buildings. Give us a little time. Robert Shelton's committed to bring university down there.
Yeah, Dean Cervelli with the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture.
Visionary for making it happen. So we have a lot of hope. We are imagining a greater Tucson. Right now you're listening to Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. We're interviewing Michael Guyman, and we are imagining a greater Tucson. Their website's wonderful. We'll be back with more information. And please remember to check out Mrs. Green's website. What we're going to do in the next segment is we're going to take some callers to see if they know about it, what their interaction is, be 520-880-5678. And, of course, we have some great giveaways from local establishments like Bookman's and Eclectic Pizza. I'm a walking locavore. It's so much fun to just really feel like anywhere I go in, I stop and think, who owns this place? And I really do a check-in. So we'll be right back. Mrs. Green goes Main Street. Oh, wait, they said we have another minute. Okay, I got my timing off. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Well, if you don't mind me making a comment.
Oh, 30 seconds.
Oh, I thought 30 seconds.
See, you don't know the hand signals, folks, here. When we go on TV, you're going to love it. So you'll see all the mumbo-jumbo that goes on. Here is a little shout-out for the people giving a signal. So, Michael, we'll be right back. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Crazy. I think that's what we should call the next segment. Stay tuned. Please stay here with me.
Because you never know what'll happen next. Happen next. Next. News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. And joyfully joining us again is Scott Caddo from Legendary World. And he is going to be talking with us about staycations.
Hello. How are you? Good to see you again. I want to throw out my website because I know I always forget that. And we get into our show and stuff. So I just want to let people know, go to legendaryworld.com. You can actually sign up for our e-newsletter there. We've got some great things every week. And we'll kind of segue right into this. But one of the things we do, a lot of people don't know, is we do these amazing hotel programs all over the world. And we come on the show here and we talk about the cool stuff we do in Arizona and California. But I just wanted to, we've got two great new hotels that are now part of our program. One, you know, we've talked about before, not on the show, but Mrs. Green and I's Enchantment Resort and the Miamo Spa, which is just amazing. It's in Sedona.
I'd be happy to go check it out for trade.
Check it out for me.
No problem. I will do an on-site review. Just tell me the dates.
Well, it's just a beautiful getaway to Sedona.
It's like heaven just from the website.
Oh, and even just the community of Sedona, just to be able to get up there and get away. It's an easy car drive from Tucson. You know, we have a lot of clients here that like to just pop up there and stuff.
But, and it's in Arizona. I love that. Support our state. We need it.
It's beautiful. Have you been to Sedona?
Many times.
Oh, it's just so peaceful. I mean, it's a very secluded. I mean, I don't know what it does, but it takes you out of the world.
Well, it's about all those vortices. You know, what can I say? Let's not even get started there.
Okay, we won't go there. But it's one of the hotels in our program. We have, again, the daily breakfast that's included in your rate. Plus, we also have a $50 credit that you can use towards the spa or the dining and stuff like that. So it's just a great green getaway.
So like you might never have to leave the property. I love those kind of staycations where you park the car and then you stay.
And another one in our program, and it's the Hotel Andra in Seattle. And it's right downtown Seattle and an amazing boutique hotel right in the center of activity, but again, very calm, very peaceful. We also have breakfast daily here and welcome bottle of wine. But the other thing with this one is we're actually featuring this hotel in our Washington State wine tour we're doing with Jonathan and Colette from The Cork. So it's a great hotel.
And once again, if you need any press coverage there, media blasts, I am here to serve the community. I did find out from a very new, wonderful, exciting partner of ours, Miraval, that trending in the United States in general are drives
drive vacations and short flight stays. So it's really trending. People are staying closer to home. And those are two examples. They're perfect examples of going either on a drive. The drive to Sedona is beautiful. And then this trip to Seattle, you can get non-stop flights, which I really like.
Yeah, it's about three hours.
Okay, Scott Caddo, Legendary World, talking about staycations. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for inviting me on the next two trips. Have a great day. And I hope you'll still be my friend after we do our iPad lessons this afternoon. That's all I'm going to say. We are Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. Michael Guyman from Imagine Greater Tucson is in studio, and we have a caller on the line. Brian, thanks for calling in. What's your question or feedback?
Hi there, Mrs. Green. I'm curious. I'm driving on I-10 here on my way to a volleyball game with my daughter and going by what used to be known as TEP Park, which is a shining example, in my view, of the politicians' inability to work together.
It's kind of like what not to wear.
Yeah, you look around the country at some of the great downtown revitalizations that have been done, and, you know, baseball parks being one example, Memphis, Tennessee, been there many times, relocated the park downtown. It's just a fantastic place to go see a game. Same thing with Oklahoma City and, frankly, Phoenix, Arizona. We, you know, Bank One Ballpark, formerly Bank One Ballpark, just a great place to go see a game, and it's downtown. And I think it's just emblematic of, you know, the city versus the county government. And I think Imagine Tucson is a very exciting concept, but the big question is, how do we get the politicians involved and how do we get them working together for the benefit of the community?
Love your question. And because you called in today, you're going to get a pizza certificate to Eclectic Pizza and a certificate to Bookman's. We do need your email and your address, so please stay on the line. And I think it's a perfect question. And I will tell you this. When I went to several Imagine Greater Tucson gatherings, everybody has that on their mind. Michael, you've got to come around to us and tell us, because it was overcome. That objection was overcome, and I loved the answer. So what is your answer to that? How do we get the politicians involved, engaged, or even do we?
No, we definitely do. And Brian sort of hits at the core of my personal feelings. Not only just from the political side of things, but also baseball. I'm a huge baseball
so
fan.
So it's like, what would you call that, a base hit or a double or something?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, nonetheless, it was really, you know, it's sort of a dagger through the heart when spring training decided to pull out of Tucson. But I've got to say that, you know, that decision, I think, was almost beyond the politicians' reach. MLB is a business, and they make business decisions. But with that aside, you know, we are engaging the politicians, because it's ultimately they who are going to have to implement whatever is a result of this process. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where they're partners in our effort, but, you know, we also need to make sure that we are we also want to make sure that this is from the bottom up approach. And so we've really taken that into account. Everyone that's involved is really a volunteer. And, you know, there are a lot of people involved in the process that have connections, you know, very good connections to the local elected officials. But, you know, we're trying to, and again, this is based off of examples that we've seen in just about every part of the country. It's like the mission statement is almost, we involve the elected officials, ... at arm's length.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, we want to create this. And, politicians react based on what the community wants.
If there's 10 people at a meeting or 20 people, that's how special interest groups get things moved forward.
That's absolutely right.
And they will listen to the will of the people.
That's absolutely right.
Or we shall overcome.
Yeah, hopefully we won't have to get to that
hopefully
point.
Hopefully we won't have to get there.
But, you know, 125 diverse people making up the initiating team. Then expanding there, you know, out to the 1,000 surveys that we've received, the 3,000 people that we've touched as a part of our outreach efforts in this project that we are, you know, the number grows every day. All those people just, again, going back to that enthusiasm, having that enthusiastic spirit about the project, that's going to carry on then to the elected officials in the region. And we actually have quite a few elected officials. We do have an elected official outreach committee, believe it or not. I was the chair of that committee. I had to step back for some other reasons. But we do have a committee that makes sure that they are in tuned, and we do go to the council meetings and to the PUMA Board of Supervisors meetings and give them updates.
Updates, okay. And I think one of the things you said earlier in the show that we can talk about, first of all, you validate people's feelings, because I had to deal with those. And I imagine Greater Tucson in far too limited a scope, because I do think about downtown. But when you talked about shared values, give me some examples of that, because that's the core of what will make this work. And ostensibly or ultimately, that's what got me excited, because it was in alignment with what I value, including great outdoor spaces and places to take my family and a city that I can be proud of. So talk about some of those values that have been identified or that we've looked at.
Absolutely. And you know, the process right now is collecting those values. And so we're getting a lot of interesting responses. But, you know, I used to give this presentation. I used to give PowerPoint presentations to organizations prior to when we started. And it was just to inform them about what
right.
we're
you
going
have to
embark
dog and
on.
Pony show.
Exactly. the second slide of that presentation had a question, and you know, I sort of took the Socratic method of our audience participation, and I asked them. I said, "What do you value?" And they gave me value. So they talked about sort of a small business community. People know each other here more so than, and they're friendly. And, the outdoor amenities, they can, hike. Last weekend, I went up to Mount Lemmon and I threw snowballs at my family members,
so
and then I came
awesome.
Back down to Agua Caliente Park in 75-degree weather. I mean,
and
those
saw
are the
ducks.
Types of values.
Yes.
And saw the ducks,
yes.
Exactly. And
yes.
So those are the types of values. After I asked that question, I then went to the next slide, and the next slide had exactly what the individuals had in that meeting
about.
Were talking about. And I spoke to environmental groups. I spoke to neighborhood groups. I spoke to business groups. They were all saying pretty much the same thing. And so we're just getting a really good idea about what people value. You talked about downtown, and the things that you like about downtown, the things that you want to see in your downtown. I mean, those are all part of not only the values, but the next steps in the process as we take the values, transform it into a map. And we've actually hired a group called Fregonese and Associates they're out of Portland. They
say
are,
that again three
yeah,
times.
Okay. Fregonese. Yeah, that's
Fregonese.
Right.
Easy. Okay, I got it. I'm sorry.
Yes, and he's never heard that joke before.
Sure.
Take those values, transform them into scenarios. Then we're actually going to get people back to the table, and we're going to, from what I've heard, and this may change, but we're going to have maybe like 10 people around a map. And those 10 people are going to come from very different backgrounds, because we want those 10 people to look at the map and make sure, okay, well, we like this component, we don't like this component, and really start working together. This is going to be a challenge, but I think it's the right kind of challenge. And again, if these maps are based on what everyone values, these sort of shared values, then it should be an easier process.
Then there's buy-in.
There's buy-in.
Nobody wants me to unveil my great plan that I made up in my head and don't have any input on. So here's the deal. We're talking to Michael Guyman from Imagine Greater Tucson. And if you're listening, hopefully by now, you too are imagining a Greater Tucson. We do have a caller on the line. We have to take a quick break. Michael, say your website very quickly before we go to break, and we'll bring it on again for Imagine Greater Tucson.
You betcha. ImagineGreaterTucson.org. Very simple.
And it's a content-rich website. I spent some time on it again this morning. You can sign up. We'll go back to some ways to get involved. Jean, please stay on the line. You're listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. News Talk 790 KNST 520-880-5678. Please stay here with me.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. I see trees, too. Love that. Just love that little back music there, Kat. Thanks for that. We have Michael Guyman in studio, who is, by the way, a volunteer for Imagine Greater Tucson. some of the people that are involved that I know are so busy. I like say, where do you get your time? And it's you ask somebody to do something, ask a busy person. We're taking callers, 520-880-5678, some fun giveaways, and we have Jean on the line. Jean, thanks for calling in. What's your question?
I have a question regarding the Imagine Greater Tucson collecting values from the community. I went to IGT's grand announcement party at High Corbett Field, and I filled out a little card letting IGT know that one of my core values for the community is education. So my question is regarding how will IGT take my value, education, and transmit that or use
and incorporate
it in their
grand, that into
you know,
the result.
Scheme of
yeah.
things to
yes.
help improve education in the Tucson area?
That is an absolutely out-of-the-box awesome question. Two great callers. So, Michael, I'll let you field that one. I have my own answer, but it's based on just my opinion.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well,
thank you, Gene.
You know, again, as a part of the process, we're obviously, you know, hearing a lot of different values. You know, many of those are the same as we talked about in the last segment. But, you know, we're also hearing about how, you know, what I think what Gene's question, too, is getting to, you know, what she wants things to be. There's sort of the value side.
What most of the voters even wanted to
be. Oh, absolutely.
They approve increases in education.
That's right.
So go ahead.
So, you know, there are sort of the values that, you know, people like that we have and want to maintain.
Right.
And then there are also sort of those values that are more, you know, action oriented,
right.
where
right.
it's like we want a better education system. We want better transportation system. We're going to take all of those and basically, you know, incorporate them using, again, this model that Friganese and Associates are. Yeah, I know it's everyone gets a chuckle when we talk about the name. Based on that model, again, and incorporate all of those values, whether they are what we value now or what we want in the future, and incorporate that into the plan. You know, it's going to be a challenge, but. Based on, and you know, I don't know, you know, I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but you know, based on the events of January 8th, I think we're really seeing the worth of this community.
I'm glad you brought it up.
A very caring community,
mobilized community,
very mobilized
community.
You know, I mentioned my workplace. We're actually trying to figure out how the tragedy of January 8th is going to affect. You know, economic development efforts, but our counterparts in other communities are actually coming back to us and saying, all the news that we see is how the community has come together.
Mobilized.
It's just incredible. And so, you know, again, that showed Tucson what it's really worth. And I think, you know, translating that into Imagine Greater Tucson, you know, those people, you know, as we sit around the table and talk about the plan, I think we're going to have that same sort of ethic where people are going to say, you know what, we can give a little in order to make sure that the future is brighter.
And one of the things to speak to Gene's question, and I think that there's an economic model or many that would support this, if we bring some companies in here, if we have a healthy, vibrant downtown, if there is some reason for us to go there, it's about spending money, it's about more taxes being collected for sales tax, it's about more heads in the beds in our resorts, so it helps build a stronger economic infrastructure that will therefore help support education and bring people here, because that helps. A growing population helps with education, and people are migrating out. So, Gene, stay on the line. Thanks for calling. And it's up to you, Michael. We have a couple more callers. Should we take another caller?
Sure.
Love that. It's a radio talk show. Jim, thanks
yes.
for calling in. What's your question?
On Rio Nuevo, we've been hearing for years how they are collecting the money through our taxes and how they had to raise our taxes in order to be able to pay for Rio Nuevo. Granted, Arizona and Phoenix, they help pay on it also, but we've already raised the money, allegedly, to be able to do whatever we were going to do in Rio
right,
Nuevo.
Right.
And then the money goes into the general fund and it all gets spent. And we had voted here as to what we want to develop there. And I remember that one of the things that was chosen was an aquarium. And it was decided, yeah, okay, we're going to build an aquarium. Well, years go by, and they have to do their studies and everything, and then they say, oh, well, it's not practical. It doesn't pay. Well, Number one, Dallas had an aquarium, and it was doing fine until they decided to build a second aquarium. That takes the money away from aquarium number one because you have aquarium number two. SeaWorld has managed to function for I don't know how many years. Camden, New Jersey built a aquarium there. Baltimore Inner Harbor has a aquarium that what they've done at the Inner Harbor is phenomenal. And all seem to be able to make money, but they said, no, it's not practicable because we're not going to make any money. Now, granted, if you turn around and you figure the cost of the fish, the cost of the maintenance, the cost of everything that's involved in that, yes, it is costly. But if you had the U of A, which is, I know, can be, you know, something that's not really great in some aspects because we've seen Biosphere 2, but the students that want to study ichthyology or oceanography, they can start out at the U of A, but then they have to transfer and they have to go to state California or they have to go to Florida in order to be able to get their degrees.
Okay.
Why not take those students and have them working at this aquarium as part of learning to become an oceanographer or a ichthyologist?
Right. Well, I think one of the things is that I want to just – here's my response to that, and I thank you for calling in and talking about this, and it's an objection that I had to overcome. The thing that I feel about Imagine Greater Tucson, okay, so let's do an aquarium. What happened to me with Rio Nuevo is that there wasn't the buy-in. There wasn't shared values. There were just all these ideas thrown out there. And I can't totally diss it because I've been told that some positive things have come out of it. So, Michael, from your perspective, what's your answer to that? Because what I like about Imagine Greater Tucson, it's much more thorough and grassroots so that when we do have something that we build down there or anywhere, it's because the shared values of this community by the thousands bought into it and supported it. And I do have to say a little bit about Biosphere 2. Biosphere 2, and I've had people from the U of A on the show say this, it was a failure. It is now thriving.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hotbed for scientific exploration, discovery. We have some of the greatest minds in the world come and have conferences there, so it's revenue producing. So even though it was not a success in its ultimate first blush, the second iteration, it's become a very, very valuable wonder. It's been in books about it's one of the, you know, the visits, the wonders of the world. So speak to the whole aquarium, that process.
Sure.
I mean,
no,
it's a big dead elephant.
I actually think that you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, there wasn't, you know, the Rio Nuevo project was essentially a government-run program. And if you look at other, you know, attempts in other communities, it's really had a lot more buy-in in their downtown revitalization efforts than we did. And so, you know, I think to talk about downtown, yes, we've had some failures. You know, Brian earlier brought up the ballpark. You know, in the 90s, we had a chance to put the ballpark downtown. It didn't go downtown. The previous caller talked about the aquarium and how he feels that was a missed opportunity. We can talk about all of this stuff, but I think what Imagine Greater Tucson is all about is really looking toward the future and making sure that we have as many people involved so that they have that buy-in, so that they are integrated into the process and they can help develop the future. I think all of these callers, they're prime candidates. To get involved,
which is
and
great,
take the survey.
Before we get off the phone, I mean the radio, we still have another caller, which I don't think we'll get to Bob, but I think you should take his name and number and get his info, and he should get some eclectic pizza and Bookman's anyway. But what's the call to action? Because I want to reiterate my feelings and my excitement. I had all those same objections. I voiced them. I went and got involved, and I overcame them because I want to imagine a greater Tucson. I want to grow old here, and I'm so young. I have a long life to live. So what is the call to action for people? There are so many levels at which they can get involved.
That's
Give us
right.
a couple of them.
A couple of them very quickly. The first thing for both of them is to go to imaginegreatertucson.org. Go to the website. I'm sure Mrs. Green will have it on her website.
Absolutely.
So you can go to her website
it's
as well
on
and
there
link
right
to there.
Now.
Go to the website, find out when the next community conversation is. Go attend the community
They're
conversation.
Everywhere.
They are everywhere. We're trying to spread them out throughout this community as much as possible. Go to the community conversation. Be a part of other Tucsonans and other people in the region that are not only just filling out the survey, but talking about matters. Sitting down in the same room, sitting next to one another, and talking about the future of Tucson. If that's not what you really want to do, go to the website. The survey is on the website. You can fill out the survey on the website.
Do just one thing to get your green on. Thank you so much for coming in. Remember to support your local businesses. Pick up a copy of the New Southwest. It's an unbelievable publication. Michael, thank you so much for coming in, sharing our enthusiasm. Anything you want to know about this show, just ask Mrs. Green. News Talk 790 KNST. Make it a great green day.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.